whom would destroy, and some friend who would decoy. This the world is sinking sand. Savior, hold me by thy hand. When the There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet.
356.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make all my troubles quickly and near. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to people allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. Over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. A throne of grace, then let us go and offer up our prayer. A gracious God will mercy show to all that worship there. A throne of grace, armies have often been, and God has showered His blessings down as often as we win. A throne of grace, rejoice ye saints, that throne is open still. God, unbosom your complaints, and then inquire His will. A throne of grace we yet shall need, long as we draw our breath. A Savior too, to intercede, till with beams from Jesus' face, and we no longer want shall know, nor need a throne of grace.
How about number 8? Number 8.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His power and His love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy be space, its chariots of wrath, the deep thunder cloud, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend. I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season, soon their beauty must evade, will be free from all temptation, where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season, soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where loved ones gone to be with Jesus in their robes of white array, now are waiting for my coming, where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season, soon their beauty is I am going to a city where the roses never fade.
Only one thing before, I've heard five, you know it.
154.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace
preacher that uneducated that y'all got down there at Monticello, is he very professional? Y'all can tell him that it must be. He's got a bag to carry his Bible in. That's a good sign that somebody's professional. I got a new Christmas present, so left a price tag on it. But as we gather here this day, we are reminded of the conditions of the world. We finished up a year, and we're starting off another year, and we all have great hopes of a better year. We have resolutions that we make and say, well, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and make myself a better person. And we need to look back in maybe the book of Job, where Job's friends remind him of the glory of God. and that we're not so much in charge of how our lives go as we might think. God is in his heaven. He is in control. And although we have a opportunity to be obedient to God, we don't necessarily control the weather and control the conditions and control what goes on. And Job's friends tell him that we need to stand and look at God's glory. As we do that, and as we start this new year, there's a couple observations that I want you to realize. God is great. He has blessed us with a wonderful life, regardless of the trials and tribulations that we have. You don't have to look very far to find people in much worse conditions than we are. But he has blessed us with a wonderful opportunity to live this life in a productive manner. And there's two observations that I want you to see in as we begin this new year. With God in all of his glory, and we are in possession of this wonderful body, soul, and spirit that God has provided, we need to look at life as a type of mirror. That if you look into this mirror, you're not going to get back more than you put in there. If you put pretty in, you'll get pretty back. If you put ugly in, you'll get ugly back. If we smile, then we will have smiles returned. And likewise, frowns. And many times, God's creations, and I'm talking about us, go through this life, and we expect more than what we put in. And one of the greatest tragedies in this life is for a person to waste the gifts that God has given. And a lot of times we don't realize that when things are going good. We don't appreciate our gifts until it's too late in life and we've squandered what God has provided, and we just didn't use it. But the other observation, other than life being as a mirror, life is kind of like a one-way street. You can't go back down the street that you went down yesterday. We need to start this year out in a way that every turn that we make in this life will be a benefit to mankind, will be a glory to God. This is the gifts that he has provided for us, and for us to not use them, for us to not glorify God in these blessings we have received, is a tragedy in itself. So I ask, as we go through this new year, that you remember God and remember what he has given us. What a precious time we have each day that we can, especially on a Sunday morning, when we can get up and say, I'm going to God's house to thank him for what he's done for us. And I see so many people that are so blessed, but yet we think we're going to have more. We're going to have to do more. We're going to do better to benefit ourselves. As we come this day, I trust that we will do all that we can to honor and praise God. He's given us this opportunity. He's given us the gift. And I certainly hope for a better year. But I hope I can praise God more than I did last year. Maybe I can put more good into this mirror of praising God, and I'll be able to see more blessings coming back at me. We don't need to do it for that purpose, but I want you to understand that, say, you don't put ugly in and expect to get good back. So let us come today. Again, I appreciate all that's come out to be with us. We miss Brother Clyde and Sister Haynes. We miss Brother and Sister Terrell. We pray for them. They're unable to be here. They want to be here. They've asked for our prayers. And we feel it's our duty and our privilege to be able to go to God in prayer and ask that they be healed in a reasonable portion. We ask that God would heal this nation of all the problems we have and of this world. So I appreciate you coming. I ask you to be in prayer with me during this service, that we might say something that may be pleasing to God's ears. Really have a song we can sing.
Number six.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God.
We declare thy name holy, holy, holy. To thee, the thrice holy God, we pray. Dear God, as we come upon bended knees this day in an humble manner as we know how, realizing, O Lord, that we come this day with our sins before us, dear God, we ask that thou would hear our prayers, hear our supplications, dear God, to the shed blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son. Gracious God, we realize that our guilt has been washed away. The stain from our garments has been washed away by the shed blood of thy Son. Gracious God, we come in gratitude and thanksgiving that thou hast had mercy and grace upon us from before the foundation of the earth.
Gracious God, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy love and thy mercy upon us. We ask you as we go through this day that thou would be with us, O Lord. Give us a hearing ear and an understanding heart, that we may look into thy scriptures and see thy mercy and thy glory magnified. Gracious God, as we go, we want to remember all those that are suffering in the great floods, all those that are suffering and in harm's way in the battlefields of this world. Dear God, we ask you to be around about the survivors, be around about the families and the friends and the loved ones. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about us all, that we may have a heart to look unto thy mercy and give comfort, receive comfort from thee. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about this dear country of ours. Bless it that we may continue to be in thy footsteps. Gracious God, that we may continue to prosper. Dear God, we ask you to go with our leaders, go with our military, go with our citizens and be with us, O Lord, that we may continue to walk in a way that's pleasing in thy sight. Gracious God, as we come as a small group gathered here this day, we ask you to continue to bless us with an understanding heart, that we may look to thy glory in these days to come in this new year. We ask, O Lord, that you would accept our prayers of thanksgiving for all the blessings thou hast bestowed upon us in these past days. We ask, O Lord, that we continue, that we may be able to see and understand thy glory and thy ways, and we may be able to walk, O Lord, once again in a way that you'd have us to walk. Dear God, as we go in this service, we ask you to bless us and cause us that all that we may say, all that we may do, may be to thy praise, honor, and glory. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about our loved ones that's unable to be with us this day. Be with them in their trials and their tribulations. Lift them up, O Lord, with the physical healing. Lift them up, O Lord, with the comfort in thy mind and in their heart, that they may face the dangers of this world and the diseases of this world and the maladies that strike us down, that they may face them with a love and a trust and a faith in an everlasting God. We thank thee, O Lord, for all thy blessings, and we ask you to be with us in this day. So with us in Christ's name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Yesterday was the first day of a new year. And because of circumstances, you see Times Square and you see confetti and fireworks all over the world, and it's a joyous occasion that everybody looks forward to a better year. I listen to the news and everybody says, Happy New Year, we want a better time. I have yet to hear anybody say that last year was the greatest I could ever expect. I don't want anything any better. I don't want it to get any better. It's too good now. But you always look for a better year, regardless of how good you've had it. But it's also a lot of things going on in the world. So it's kind of a mixed day as far as being a time of celebration. It's a time of sorrow. But we know that there's no real difference between yesterday and any other day. It didn't stop everything and we're going to start all over again. But in our minds and in our thoughts, it's a marked day, a day that we've set aside as one of the milestones in our lives, that every year at this time, we know that one year actually doesn't close. It's just a matter of time that we have set up. And we've drawn this line between our days, and we've made this day or yesterday a special day. We call it New Year's. And as we're crossing this line that we have established and called it a year, we've moved into another year of God's grace of 2005. So as we watch the TV and read the newspapers, and we see all the lists that people come out with, this is the best to happen, this is the worst to happen, these are the the biggest goof-ups, this is the prettiest person in last year, or whatever. We see the good and bad things that's happened over the last year, and everybody's glad that this old year is gone out of the way. And we try to talk about how tough things we've had and how bad last year was, and think about all the things that we didn't have that we wanted, and we make resolutions to get more stuff this year so we'll have a better year. We'll have a more prosperous year. And we worry about the minor things of this life, and then we see tragedies like we saw in Southeast Asia last Sunday, where the major earthquake out in the middle of the Indian Ocean sent a massive tidal wave and wiped out close to 150,000 people. And whenever we see this tragedy of all these people that were drowned and all these towns and villages that are no more, then we can come to comprehend what John said when he was telling us in his gospel, the wonderful message of Christmas that we had just a week ago, that in the beginning was God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made manifest and dwelt among us. The greatest Christmas story you could imagine, of the Son of God that was before time coming to be made manifest and dwelling among us. And when John tells us this, he says that when this Son was made manifest and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten and of the Father, who was full of grace and truth. And John was bearing witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received." And grace for grace. Whenever we see the tragedies of war, we see people blowing themselves up just so they can wreak havoc, that has no purpose or no reason about them, that they would blow themselves up just so they could destroy other people. And we see natural disasters, then we are able to comprehend just a little more of the blessings of God when Jesus came that was full of grace and truth. And he says that all of our blessings come from this fullness of grace that come when Jesus was manifest. But the part I want you to see is that we see receive grace upon grace, or blessing upon blessing. This is daily. If you received a blessing day before yesterday and you received one yesterday, it was a different blessing. This God had come to be with us, and he left and left his comforter in his place when he had to go away. He is full of grace. He is full of blessings. All through the Old Testament, you read where people were commanded of God, if you will do this, he will bless you. He's not talking about eternal salvation. He's not talking about I'll take you to heaven. He says, if you will obey, be obedient, and it's worded many different ways, but if you will be obedient, I will bless you. And the same thing is brought forth in the New Testament, that God has come in the form of his Son, that we celebrated his birth just last week. He is full of grace. There is an overabundance supply of grace, and it is new every day. And that's what I want you to see, that today's grace is replaced tomorrow by tomorrow's grace. It is not a limited supply that we can't ask but so much of God, that we need to be able to go to him every day to receive this grace that he has promised if we will be obedient. It's a never-ending supply because this grace and truth that we need and we asked of came by Jesus Christ, who came and dwelt among us. Now, it is my desire that God, through Christ, will continue to bless you all through this year. I pray for that. I pray for you. I want him to bless your year. But many times we have to have a serious illness, or we have to have some type of suffering before we are able to recognize how much God has blessed us. And a lot of times it takes a natural disaster. If you did not say when 9/11 happened, "I'm glad I'm not in New York," you're in a minority. If you did not say some way in your heart, "I'm glad I don't live in Southeast Asia," you're in the minority. If you did not realize how fortunate you are to live where you live and to be blessed as God, then you're in the minority. But many times that's the only time we see how God blesses us, is when somebody else is hurting. And I want you to see as we start this year that God blesses you whether somebody else is hurting or not. And I want you to see it whether somebody else is hurting or not. Now, I want you to start all the way back to in the book of Genesis to understand God's blessings. It says in the very first words of the first book of Genesis. Genesis is the book of origins or the book of beginnings. Genesis means the beginning. But the very first words, "In the beginning, God." Now that don't tell you a thing about God. It don't tell you how big he is, how old he is. It don't tell you anything about him other than the fact that it affirms his existence. It says, "In the beginning, God." Now that states as a fact that the presence of God, the power of God, is the only self-existent being in the universe. He has always been there. You go all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning. And right before that was God. He didn't have a beginning. But he was there when the beginning started. That's all that in those words said. Said he was always been. And outside of that, there's no question. There's no argument. We have to understand that he is there. He is the eternal God. And by faith we understand. And I have no problem believing. Until somebody can come up with a better explanation, somebody can come up with more proof that somebody other than God did it, I'm going to believe what my scriptures tell me and what my heart believes. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of the God. Word of our God. I believe that. I believe he spoke them into being. He said, "Let it be," and it was. I believe that. I believe that we have the Bible as our understanding that Jehovah is the supreme being in the universe. I was listening to a guy on television just the other day.